From the Meridian Manufacturing Studios, you're listening to Inside Agriculture. Well, there's been lots of attention given to immigration, trade, and jobs on the presidential campaign trail. But one ag leader in Congress says the top issue for farmers November 8th could come down to something else. America's farms and businesses are awash in a tide of red tape, with more than 20,600 regulations in the last 8 years and another 2,000 proposed are in the pipeline. Adding those by the last Bush White House, the total cost to ag, business, and industry is estimated at $176 billion a year. Now, longtime Senator Chuck Grassley talked about the top issue for farmers in the November election.
Although I don't hear the presidential candidates talk too much about agriculture and waters of the U.S., but regulation generally is what I hear from farmers, and waters of the U.S. at the top of that list.
Waters of the U.S. or WOTUS would vastly expand the Environmental Protection Agency and Army Corps of Engineers' control of the nation's waters, and it's become agriculture's poster child for overregulation. The rule is now tied up in the courts, as the House and Senate have failed so far, despite some legislative successes, to derail or to fund WOTUS. Grassley, who backs Donald Trump, points out that Trump wants to undo many regulations, but argues it won't be as simple as issuing an executive order.
Where the Administrative Procedures Act has been used, he's going to have to go back through the process of the Administrative Procedures Act unless it's being held up by the courts. And waters of the U.S. would fall into the category of what's being held up by the court.
But it's not just WOTUS. Farm Bureau's following other rules, some to require mitigation of farm impacts to land and water. Well, we'll take a break here. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the Farm Bill. Time to get busy and work on the Farm Bill, because it comes up in 2018. That's next. Well, as we wrap up, not really, but we continue on with what's going on inside agriculture. I have to thank KCJB 910 Classic Country in Minot, as well as Ag News 890 and Farm News in Real Country, Thunder 106.1 in Lisbon and Fargo, for being on the program and enjoying what's going on today in agriculture, what's going on inside agriculture. Well, before we took the break, stated the fact that we need to work on the Farm Bill. While the American Farm Bureau Federation is already working on ideas for the next Farm Bill, AFB is putting together some early policy ideas in anticipation of testimony before the House and Senate Ag Committee as early as next spring. Now, Mary Kay Thatcher, Senior Director of Congressional Relations with the American Farm Bureau Federation, said some changes need to be made in the 2018 Farm Bill compared to the 2014 Farm Bill.
Well, certainly we've heard from our cotton producers and our dairy folks that they don't think the new programs that were put into effect are working for them. Fairly low participation in both programs, and most folks feeling, again, like they just don't provide an adequate safety net.
The biggest challenge in writing a new Farm Bill is not enough money.
I think one of the biggest issues we're going to face in the next Farm Bill is we're going to have less money to write the Farm Bill than we had when we wrote the 2014, and obviously prices are going to be much lower than they were then. So, when it's really a tough time and we need additional dollars, we're going to have to find a way to do it with fewer instead of more.
And the farm safety net in the next Farm Bill will be a hot topic of discussion.
We already know that there's financial struggles in the country. Prices are not good for most commodities, and even for the few that are, they've been in the tank mostly for the last year or so. We know that farm bills are always harder to write when you're facing difficult times. We know that crop insurance will continue to be in the bullseye, primarily because it costs more than does the commodity program or the conservation program. But we're going to have to work diligently to bring the conservation groups, the nutrition groups, the farm groups together to hold a very strong farm bill.
She said there's going to be a push by some in Washington to split the nutrition title away from the farm bill, and the Farm Bureau says that can't happen.
About 79% of the cost of the farm bill is nutrition programs, but we know that especially in a House of Representatives that is largely urban, that if we split nutrition and farm programs apart, we simply don't have the votes to pass an adequate farm bill with a good safety net. So we need to have our members carry the message right now to their members of Congress, both House and Senate. We do not want to split.
And farmers need to let their senators and representatives know that times are tough in the agriculture economy.
We are having difficulties, and farm programs are based on let's provide assistance when prices and yields and revenue are low. And now is the perfect time to see that that's indeed the confluence of events that are happening, and we have to protect farmers with an adequate safety net.
Mary Kay Thatcher, Senior Director of Congressional Relations with the American Farm Bureau Federation in Washington, D.C. Well, Bloomberg reports that the China National Chemical Corporation has commitments from lenders and a $12.7 billion loan package to help secure its purchase of Syngenta. ChemChina acquired the financing from 17 different banks altogether. The agreement to buy Syngenta for $43 billion came earlier this year in a deal that would make it the largest supplier of pesticides and ag chemicals in the world. The funds coming together now puts the state-owned corporation one step closer to finishing up the country's biggest acquisition ever outside of its borders. U.S. national security officials approved the takeover deal last month, but it's still subject to an antitrust review by regulators worldwide. ChemChina is planning to sell $10 billion in preferred shares to help fund the acquisition. They also intend to raise another $15 billion in cash, bringing the total equity contribution to $25 billion. ChemChina will borrow the rest of the financing it needs via a loan package. Well, we're going to take another break here. However, when we come back, the Bayer-Monsanto deal is a bad deal for farmers. That, according to National Farmers Union President Roger Johnson. We'll talk about that next. From the Meridian Manufacturing Studios, you're listening to Inside Agriculture. News stories that Bayer has increased its bid for Monsanto, and the two companies are continuing to negotiate, it prompting National Farmers Union President Roger Johnson to take action. He's calling on the U.S. Justice Department to act on the deal, saying a merger between the two companies would not be good for farmers. Johnson said a Bayer-Monsanto merger would be a continuation of a wave of mergers in the agricultural input sector. Now, that wave includes a recently approved ChemChina deal to acquire Syngenta, as well as the proposed mergers between Dow and DuPont and Potash Corporation and Agria. He said NFU will continue to express concerns that mega deals like these are made to benefit those in the boardroom and not family farmers. Now, along those same lines, Johnson said, "We are pleased to see that the Justice Department filed an antitrust lawsuit to prevent the proposed merger between John Deere and Precision Planting. We urge them to continue to reject any deals, both now and in the future, that hurt marketplace competition." Well, a recent report from the Environmental Protection Agency was highly critical of the herbicide atrazine, which helps reduce soil erosion and runoff problems, which keeps soil healthy and water clean. Now, EPA released its draft ecological risk assessment as part of the re-registration process for atrazine, and if its recommendations stand, farmers will basically lose the use of the herbicide. Tillage is an effective way to control weeds, but disturbing the top layer of soil leads to a loss of 90% of crop residue from the soil. Tillage damages the soil and leaves it more vulnerable to erosion from wind and water, which in turn leads to more runoff of fertilizer and pesticides. Atrazine was one of the first products to be used on a widespread basis because it's a broad spectrum product. It reduced the number of times farmers had to drive over their soil, and that decreased erosion and runoff problems. Iowa State University professor of weed science, Bob Hartzler, said farmers have made significant progress adopting reduced-till and no-till methods of growing a crop, and atrazine plays a key role in making these practices more sustainable. The National Corn Growers want farmers to comment on the EPA's proposal. You can go to ncga.com/ATZ. That's ncga.com/ATZ. We'll take a break here. And when we come back, Ag Research Service is working on biodegradable and edible packaging. You heard right. Edible packaging. We'll talk about that next. Well, as we wrap up what's going on inside agriculture on this Thursday, Peggy Tomasula is a scientist with the USDA's Agricultural Research Service who's received a patent for a method of turning milk protein called casein into water-resistant films that could be used to coat or package foods. Now, her method removes the casein from the milk with carbon dioxide under high pressure. Casein solidifies when milk is acidified and is the chief ingredient in cheese. She talked about why they chose that particular protein to experiment with as they looked at biodegradable and even edible packaging.
We made it out of casein because casein is a nice protein to work with when you're doing scientific studies. We know a lot about its molecular structure. What we really want to do, though, is use a lot of co-products and, if it happens, various surpluses that occur from time to time to make these films. So these films could be just freestanding films like you would have a saran wrap or something like that, or it could also be sprayed on a food product, which we showed for cereal.
Now it would add more protein to the cereal and make it healthier, plus it doesn't get soggy. It does hold some liquids like cream, but couldn't hold milk because it would break down. It would be a good packaging material for other types of foods.
It's a great fat barrier or a lipid barrier. It's also a great oxygen barrier, so it could be used to wrap cheese, help cheeses age. It could be used for a lot of packaging like that. And then if you wanted to use it on something like the cheese slices or those little cheese sticks, it could be consumed right with the cheese product.
Now, she's hoping the new packaging will be in stores within 3 years or sooner, if possible. Casein is a food-based product that's been used in non-food products.
Well, in the past, it's been used in non-food products. It was sort of the plastic of its time in 1930, and at one time it was also used to make casein wool, which was discovered by the USDA as well.
Casein has even been used to make wool.
It was big in the 1930s. I believe they also made it in Italy. It was used to make men's hats, women's suits, and things like that. The only problem was so that it wouldn't be affected by water that formaldehyde was added. So that's why these days we would not be adding anything like that to even non-food products.
Can you imagine eating your suit made out of casein? Well, she expects uses for casein to really take off in the near future. Well, as we wrap up what's going on inside agriculture, Deputy Undersecretary for Farm and Foreign Agriculture Services, Alexis Taylor, is leading a trade delegation to Hong Kong and Shanghai through September 15th. It's part of an effort to extend USDA's Women in Agriculture initiative abroad, as well as expanding export opportunities for U.S. food and agricultural products. That's Inside Agriculture. I'm Farm Director Terry Loomis.